Hello, welcome to Echo Voice Radio. You're listening to us on the 14th of March 2007.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hey, how's it going, dude?
Not bad, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Not too bad at all.
Good, good. Let's see if we can conference in Mr. Ned Tor.
Ned Tor.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Ned Tor.
Hello.
You're live on Hacker Voice Radio.
Cool. That's always good to hear.
Yes. How are you?
I'm okay, I think.
Great.
Yes, I'm just trying to get SSHD running.
Uh-huh. Sorry, what? You said, sorry,
It's doing that thing again.
Yeah. You still there? Hello?
He's not still... No.
I think he's dead.
You're all gone.
Whatever he was trying to install has killed him.
He got the better of him.
It did, didn't it?
It did.
He's installed AIDS now.
Installed death.
Yeah. See if
the machines are fighting back. The machines are rebelling. It's in the prophecy.
So, what you been up to, mate?
Oh, not a lot. I've been late tonight. I've not been in for more than half an hour.
Stuck at the long work day.
Yeah, another one of those.
At the grinding rig.
it's a terrible existence. But yeah. at least it keeps me fed and clothed. So, you know, end of the day, it goes dark.
Hmm.
How about you?
Yeah, I had a long day as well at work, and it's all right. Loads of stuff. I'm going to be very busy next month.
All right.
But, it should be all right. Sorry,
I'll be really busy in a good way. Busy in a good way or busy in a... Oh, my God, I wish
you did. It's all right. I like it because I'm going to be travelling, so...
All right.
I get to experience different places and stuff, so it's not too bad. It's not horrible, but... Sometimes you just rather be at home asleep, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I enjoy sleep, I have to say.
And tomorrow I'm getting my sofa set and a table, which is good.
Oh, yeah.
And then on Saturday I'm also getting a few more bits and bobs for the living room. And then on Sunday I'm going up to Carlisle to pick up my dog.
So, you're getting a dog?
Yeah. I bought a little Jack Russell.
Oh, cool.
So I've always wanted to have a Jack Russell.
Yeah, they're nice dogs. Have you chosen a name for him yet?
No, it's a bitch. But no, I haven't. I haven't really thought of something. I've thought of Smudge, but I can only really tell once we have the dog. Because
Yeah, you're not messing yet then? Her, sorry.
No. I've only seen videos and pictures of her. It's from a breeder.
Excellent.
So
let's throw it to the IRC, let them choose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you do have a name for my new dog, it's a female Jack Russell. Please let me know. I'll be more than happy to name the dog whatever you think would be fun to name it.
Let's just know there's going to be a load of really
rude things,
inappropriate names.
Yeah. Well, I've got a few things in plan for the dog once I get it. It's still going to be like, it's 6 week, 7 week old puppy.
Oh, standing.
So obviously I have to wait a little while till it's all grown up and wormed and stuff like that, because the breeder does all that for me, which is good.
Oh, yeah, that is good.
Chips the dog and everything like that. So she'll be RFID'd as well. So it's not going to be a long time till they start RFID'ing humans, but that's another matter. But no, I bought the dog a little like a saddle bag, you know, one of those little bags you strap to the dog's waist, and it's got like two bags on the sides.
All right, yeah.
So I can put like things inside there, like medikits and flashlights and GPS tracking things and stuff like that. So I can go off and do some urban exploration with my little puppy.
That's a pretty outstanding idea. Yeah. And of course, if he gets lost with his GPS, you'll be able to home right in on it.
Exactly. Oh, and also, I'm gonna have one of those miniature cameras strapped to the dog with like a battery pack, and I'll be able to see where the dog's sniffing away. You know, so Jack Russell's have an acute sense for going down holes and finding rabbits
right.
and stuff. They're bred. They're working dogs, so they're bred.
Oh,
for,
that's right. Yeah.
They're bred for.
Just
going to change the. Don't touch that dog. Yeah, they're made for hunting and stuff like that. So they're very
good house dogs as well.
Yeah,
really good house dogs.
Yeah, they're very loyal and respectful and.
Yeah.
Inquisitive and very intelligent as well. So I'm gonna try and train her up and stuff like that. So it should be quite fun.
Outstanding. I considered doing that with my cat. He's strapping a camera to her because I wonder where she could go.
Where she what? Hello. Hey, sorry, I just put you on hold by mistake.
An artist.
Yeah, I've had enough of you now. You're talking about a cat. I don't like cats anymore. Sorry.
Oh, God.
I do apologise for that. That was very unprofessional of me.
I did wonder.
Hello?
Yeah, I just wonder where she gets to in the daytime, you know, when I'm at work and... I mean, I know she's always waiting for me to get home, but she
could do anything.
I'm sure she does. But like, trying to strap things onto a cat is
impossible.
Oh yeah, you can't do it.
I came to this conversation at a slightly trivial point.
Yes.
just getting
a collar on a cat is hard enough, but like strapping a camera to a cat's back is going to be very hard for you.
You're not joking. You're not joking at all. I mean, the most I've been able to do is to get a bow tie on her once. And you wouldn't believe how much fight and strength cats really can have.
I'm sure.
She's not that big, but she can't half get her own way when you're trying to strap the bow tie on her.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure why I did it.
we won't ask.
It's probably best not, really.
I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I've got all these kind of things planned for the dog to do with me, like urban exploration, hunting. I was thinking of getting like a little, one of those little mini... ATX computers, mount it onto the dock's back, and we can do like Wi-Fi hunting with like a GPS tracking thing and all sorts of stuff, you know.
I mean, you could do a lot of really, really cool stuff.
Yeah. And it's not like going to be cruel, because the dog thinks that it's doing something useful, you know. It's like Jack Russells are born to do stuff, you know. They're very active dogs, and if you don't do things with a Jack Russell, they become out of control. So you got to keep its brain active and doing stuff. So what better way but to train it to seek unsecure access points, you know?
Well, a thought would be, you know, you get one of those tiny little micro computer jobbies, like gumsticks or something like
that. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah, with Wi-Fi and, you run Kismet with, the audio...
Audio scanning. So, like, if it hears a certain tone, it will know that it's like an encrypted network or an unencrypted network.
And yeah, like, No.
Replace the tones with like a dog's bark or something. Yeah.
That would be rad.
Yeah. So
encrypted wireless networks are whipping at him.
Exactly. So expect to see more of my little dog in forthcoming HVTV episodes.
Perhaps so.
And probably even on the show, like when I'm doing the show. I'm sure she'll be very interested in joining in.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
So how is everyone?
Pretty well. How are you?
I'm good. I somehow got myself an extra 3 megabit down my broadband line.
How'd you do that then?
Are you getting your full? Are you getting your full bandwidth out of your lines?
Well, I've only just got standard lines, so I haven't. Are you on FastPath?
No, I'm not.
You're on interleaving or whatever it's called.
I don't even know which one I'm on. I haven't specifically asked for FastPath. Well, I haven't seen any documentation telling me I'm on FastPath.
If you load your CLI up, if you go into the CLI and do like one of the status commands, it'll actually tell you what the mode you're on. It's either FastPath or interleaving. So if you want to get faster broadband, and if your line can support it, then that's always a good thing. But sadly, my line can't support it. It really gets totally fucked up when I sent an email saying, oh, can I be on FastPath? Bollocks. It was just like every 5 seconds it would disconnect and try and resync. So
yeah, they just put you on the 3 decibel noise margin, don't they?
That's right, yeah.
Profile, yeah.
Do
you want to get some extra speed out of your line?
I would love to, yeah.
Do you want me to tell you a secret method to do this?
Go on, then.
It's very secretive. You can't tell anyone.
Okay, I won't tell anyone. Shh. Don't. Nobody listen. No. Nobody listen.
Nobody listen. I didn't mean it.
Oh, no. Next, it just goes.
Really seriously.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Knowing your master socket.
Yeah. Oh, you mean take the plug off. Yeah, I think I know what you're going to say. I've actually hardwired my ADSL line straight into the pairs.
I wasn't going to say that, no.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now, going down the phone line, you've got another pair, which is for the ringer circuit.
That's right, yeah.
Have you disconnected the ringer circuit from the back of your master socket?
I haven't, no.
I'll do that. I jumped up by an extra 3 megabit and my noise margin dropped considerably.
Oh, okay.
Right,
interesting.
Now I'll tell you why. I've got an article talking about it somewhere, so let me just dig this out.
Yeah, I mean, like...
You're really going to find this interesting.
It's even recommended if you just... take the microfilter off, because I don't need to use a phone. I've got a VoIP phone on there, so I just pull microfilter out as well.
And let me just...
I mean, to tell you the truth, my lines are actually... Go on, sorry.
I have that link
talking
now.
All over you.
You both have that link, right? If someone's in IRC, they can paste it in IRC for me, please.
Sure.
It's
brilliant little article there, something. This guy called Bill.
Okay,
it talks about his third wire and the way that on his house, because it runs around the whole, it basically acts like a big radio antenna.
Yeah.
And it pushes this noise down the line as well. And by disconnecting from the master socket, you get a better ratio on your SNR margin.
Right.
And therefore you get a boost in speed.
Cool.
And I don't know. The basics of it is, he's talking about the fact that the ringer circuit is there to make your telephone ring, essentially.
Yeah. And you don't need that because...
You do need it if you want your telephone to ring, but basically it's because in the master socket you've got a capacitor which connects up the two, one of the twisted pairs to the ringer circuit.
Yeah, I see.
To make the ring when incoming calls coming in.
Mm.
Now, what happens is, if you disconnect that, you're no longer going to get a ring on that on any of the sockets because it's the master one. If it runs back off of this office socket, right? But if you've got a filter on the line, each filter has a capacitor in it for the ringer circuit, and therefore it does the ringer itself. You hear me? So that way, as long as you've got your filters on every line,
yeah,
then you're going to have still have your phones ringing like normal, but you're going to have no noise from the ringer circuit.
Sure. And if you don't need any phones, you can just do away with the whole thing.
Yeah. But I suggested to disconnect it because it will definitely decrease the noise going down the line.
Because
imagine your house acting as a big radio antenna and pushing all its noise back down the line.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, by disconnecting that one, you're essentially taking off a third of the noise, aren't you? Essentially.
Yeah.
Also, there's no feedback from your house since if your ringer circuit passes near some electrical cables inside your house, you know, one of your telephone lines, that noise is being transmitted back down as well.
Yeah, certainly. And the further away you are from the exchange, the more likelihood of the noise that you occur. And the noise that we're talking about isn't actually necessarily audible noise to humans. It could be very low tone or high tone noise.
Exactly.
I mean, sorry,
Ian. I would suspect that the noise, if it was humanly audible, would be filtered out by the end of the equipment anyway. You know, your telephone handset and such. But it does follow that the longer the antenna, the more noise you're gonna accumulate, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It's just like a big loop antenna.
I mean, you've got to think about all the telephone cabling running around the house back to the master socket where you've potentially got your broadband plugged into, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, that's making that noise, you know.
Yeah.
I've got an increase. I'm now connecting at 14 megabits.
That's not bad.
And hopefully, I'm gonna try this fast path.
And you should be able to go up to at least 18 or 19.
Oh, that's what I'm hoping.
If you're syncing at 14, and it's stable.
Well, we can only see. But
yeah.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. I'm gonna get a nice. At the end of this, I'm gonna have a nice, really nice speed. Oh, not that my speed at the moment isn't really nice. I mean, 14. Who wouldn't say no to that? You know.
Yeah, as long as it's above 10, you should be flying.
Yeah, I was talking about on their website. As long as you're above 12, they'll actually apply for fast pass.
Yeah.
Hang on a sec. Be right back.
Okay.
I managed to cope okay with my 2. But,
yeah, I'm not too far away from the exchange, so I don't really see why I'm getting such a low speed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm considering taking mine up at some point, but NTL seems to charge a lot, really, for what you know what they deliver.
Yeah.
But where I am, you're a bit snooky for choice, really. NTL or BT, and I don't like BT that much. So I think I'll have to just stick with the NTL 2 megabit.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go to the 4. That's a push. But at the moment, I've got, like, money tied up in other stuff, like moving house and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing I like about B is that they have very fast upload speeds, which is really good. It's good for me because I do a lot of uploading and downloading. I'm not too bothered. I mean, like, a 4 meg line is fine for me, and I've got 2 now, so I've got, like, 2 meg up and 8 meg down, which isn't too bad.
That's pretty handy. Yeah. The other thing about NTL as well is that they insist on putting this bloody transparent proxy, which really, really screws around with your upload.
Yeah.
Invariably. And has massive, massive amounts of latency.
Yeah, as we found.
Yeah, yeah. Damn them. Damn them to hell, I say. But hopefully, sometime in the not too far distant future, there'll be another provider, and I'll be able to throw them in the bin.
Yeah.
Well, throw NTL in the bin, not the other provider. I mean, NTL were kind enough to give me cable TV service for being a long-standing customer. And not free, but at a discount. So I said, yeah, okay, I'll have that. And now they've taken away my Sky One because they fell out with Virgin. And I mean, I don't really like Sky One that much, but the Simpsons and Futurama, you know, I mean, what more can I say?
And 24.
Well, 24, yeah.
How about this most recent 24 issue on to do Sky One? You heard about that? They Virgin, NTL and Blue Underlines. You can no longer watch the 24 series on, so you know you'll get Sky One channel.
That's right.
Yeah.
No more Sky One and no Sky News.
What the fuck were they thinking?
I don't know.
It's to do with the fact that, is it Virgin? Virgin bought out, and they no longer want to pay the high price that Sky would charge them?
No, but I mean, really, the Sky stuff was one of the big sellers with NTL. Not for me so much, but I know that a lot of people are trying to dump the service now because that's the mainstay of what they were watching. A lot of the stuff that's on bloody NCL, if you get the basic package, is just home shopping and infinite repeat shows.
Yeah.
You know, there's just more and more like way back TV stations.
Yeah, and plus ones and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. And strange thing that you'll see on a TV show, like TV station, there'll be a given program, like Friends or something, followed by Friends. There'll be like 3 or 4 or 5 episodes of like the same program in a row, and then you switch to the next station, which is the plus one version of the previous station. so all it shows is this is what you've just seen about an hour later.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's bloody stupid, isn't it? The only thing that Virgin have added really is this Virgin Interactive station where you can choose what to watch when you want to, really. It's like on demand service.
Yeah, I do like the on demand stuff. What was it called? Home Choice. When I was living in London, in Stockwell, and Home Choice was really good. The connection was very stable. It was a 2 meg connection, but it was pretty good. I didn't have any problems with it. And the on demand stuff, it all came down the same wire. It all came down the ADSL line.
Yeah. It's similar setup to with NTL.
Yeah. It did go tits up a few times, but you know, it wasn't anything major. It was probably like, you know, an evening's worth of downtime or something like that. So
yeah, I mean, same here. On the whole, NTL's service is not that bad, except over Christmas when I was offline for probably about a month.
Yeah,
because they moved over the systems. Lost a whole bunch of customer records, and I couldn't for the life of me get them to believe that I have two lines coming into the house, you know, two broadband lines, and they wouldn't switch either of them back on for me. they just couldn't believe it. They said, like, you can't have that. I said, well, I do, because I have a server running on one of them, and I have... No one has two broadband lines. What you've got is a...
I've got two broadband lines.
Yeah, and they wouldn't believe it. In the end, they sent an engineer out a month later to verify that I have these two lines in the house. And he's just saying, what's that computer there? You know, it's a computer, isn't it? He's like, well... Why has it not got a screen on it? It's a server. I don't know about that. Just turn it on.
They're meant to have screens on them, you know.
just turn the line on. Well, yeah. A bunch of... And I'll tell you what as well. The lies and the treachery from NTL was something to behold. I would phone up to complain about the fact that I still didn't have service after several days.
Yeah.
And it would be, we just need to send the activation signal to your box. I'll do that now. It'll take maybe 24 hours and then call back. No, you did or didn't do that last time I phoned up. And it still isn't working, and it's several days later. Right. Well, you need to call customer support on this number. So you phone customer support, and then you get someone in India.
Yeah.
and say, oh yeah, your equipment's clearly working. I can see from here that it's working.
Can you really? From that far?
Yeah. can you? It's switched off. It's switched off at the moment. No. It's running. Okay. So, right, now let's switch your computer on and tell me what... Okay, my computer's on. I used my laptop, so it was running Windows, because it's dual booting. So I didn't want to fall for that one. And, it's like, now, is your computer...
You're running Linux.
Yeah, you don't want to tell them that. Oh, God.
They don't like it if you say that you're running Linux.
I've got to mention this quickly before I forget.
Go on.
I had to sort out someone's talk phone line, and they had broadband. They weren't getting the broadband, everything else. But anyway, I was on the support, and they put you through the whole steps of stage one, technical support, where I have to do all the things like check your modem and all that bollocks, right?
Yeah.
And I've done this a billion times before, and I know what the problem is. But I couldn't just tell him that's the problem, and him for it accepted it. He had to go through these stages. So basically, I had to sit on the phone, listen to him going, yes, now press this button and press that button. I'm like, yeah, huh? Click, yeah. Not actually doing any of it, of course.
Well, no.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and bloody waste my time going through these stupid methods just when I know what the problem is.
Go to the start menu and find control panel. Have you done that? Oh, I tell you what. And then it's like, now, type in cmd.exe. yeah, go on. Okay, now type in IPCONF IPconfig/all, CON. Oh, fuck. God. Oh.
Do you know what? I got to tell you something. It actually took me half an hour once to actually tell one of these people my postcode. He could not understand what I was saying. The letters, the English letters, he could not understand. It's like. N something, or, you know, like NW15. It's like, what did you say? N for Nanny, N for November. Yeah? It's like, no. Oh. I'm not joking, half an hour. It was literally half an hour.
It's N for naan bread. don't you know?
I remember when I was with BT, and they send you this like gay little Voyager modem thing. So I immediately that went into the bin because it was like a USB modem, and I had a Linux box. So it was straight in the
That's
bin.
Work.
I hooked up an ADSL router. Connected that up to my line, bang, off it goes into an Ethernet port up to my room. Everything was fine until every so often my line would just drop and then go up again. So I did a few tests myself, and I noticed that there was a lot of noise on the line, like crackles and pops and shit like that. That's like not good. Not good at all if you want to have broadband. So, like, obviously something was fucking waving in the wind, you know. So I call them up, and again, they go through the same kind of shit. Yeah, press that button. And I tried to explain to this person, no, I'm not using the Voyager thing because it's shit. I'm using my own ADSL modem, but don't think that's the problem, because it's not. It's the actual ADSL signal coming to the house that the problem. And it's like, so how is it hooked up to your computer? Well, I have a switch, and then it goes up into my room to my computer. So what's a switch? I'm like, it's a network device that allows me to connect more than one thing to it. I was like, okay, right. And then can you load up the CD that came with Voyager? Like, yeah, okay, I put it in my computer. Yeah, can you just click on the autorun.exe? I'm like, I can click on it all you like, love, but it's not going to do anything.
It's like, I'll just start a virtual machine.
It's just like, why is that? I'm like, I'm running Linux.
I mean, I was told by NCL that you can't use Linux on the internet anyway.
No.
Quite categorically. I mean, among other lies, one of them is I'm saying, look, I know that my service isn't working because I've connected to my router, and I can see that I'm getting DHCP from a router to my computer, but there's no external IP address. Oh no, that won't work. Don't connect to the router. Connect straight into the set-top box.
Yeah.
You have to do that. Oh, okay. Well, it's worked pretty well for the last 3 years, but okay. I'll pretend that the router doesn't work.
Do you know what, something that used to piss me off a lot? Shouldn't have people's NCL connections with routers and having to do the bloody Mac.
The registering the box thing. Yeah.
The thing is, you've got to register the MAC address of the network interface of the router.
That's right.
So you got to do a lot of, and the automated service picks up the MAC address from your package that you're sending, obviously, or wherever it is, right? And so you end up, and the router won't show you that web page because it can't get a proper IP address and all the rest of it. So you end up having to do bloody go around the house to get this thing to register the MAC address of a machine, and or a MAC address, whatever it might be. Hell, I'd make one up. Doesn't matter.
and then you
clone that MAC address onto the router. But the amount you have to go through to get that to fucking work, it's just a nightmare.
I know.
Oh, it is a murderously tedious process.
Yeah, we had those kind of problems with...
Welcome to broadband over Ethernet.
Exactly. Well, we had those problems.
What's this?
When we
the
were
cable network's one big Ethernet? No, you're joking with me. No, I'm not.
Well, for...
EPPOE.
Well, I mean, I had one of the Indian support people telling me that I have to take my computer back to the shop. Because apparently, the fact that I wasn't getting an IP address assigned to my router was
a problem with your laptop.
Yeah, yeah. Because I eventually said, okay, I will connect my laptop straight into the set-top box just to placate you. And she said, now type IP. Yeah, IP config. So, yeah, I'm getting a completely unusable IP address. Your laptop is stuck on that IP address. Let me explain. IP address is like a telephone number for computers.
So what happens when I do IP config / release?
IP config renew. Okay, it's still not working. Oh look, I've got a different but still invalid IP address. No, the service is definitely working, but your laptop is stuck on the IP. Stuck on the IP address, you say. Okay, I'll plug it into a router. Oh look. Look, it's got another IP address now.
That's that. The router gave it to you through DHCP instead of IPIPA.
So clearly the laptop's not broken. No, you need to take your laptop to the shop and have it repaired. And I'm like, it's a good job you're in New Delhi.
Because I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah. And clearly doing it off a script. And you just think, you know, I'm paying for this support call, and why? In the end, I spent about 10 or so hours on the phone over a couple of days, screaming at various people, and said, look, I'm not being funny, but I want it fixed. Send somebody out, otherwise. You can send somebody to collect all the equipment, which will be in my front garden. I've been on the phone for 10 hours over the last few days trying to get it all working, and you've lied to me over and over again, saying that you're sending some magic activation signal, which never arrived, despite it being like electric, so you should think it would be quick. I'm not getting lost in the mail or something.
Pigeon mail it to you.
It got lost in the Ethernet.
The interwebs chewed it up.
Yeah, it got stuck in the tubes. But and I said, now these phone calls that are a premium rate number, they're not going to show up on my bill, are they? And saying, oh, well, I think we can probably work something out. I said, no, what we're going to work out is that these phone calls aren't going to show up on my bill. And you're going to fix it for me. It's like, well, we'll send a technician out to your house to check your end equipment. When will that be? January.
Bloody hell.
I'm like, you're sucking my what? Fine. January it is, but that means that I've got no service for a month. Oh, well, you got telephone. Television.
So you can call us every day.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I've got telephone, I've got television, but you can come and get this shit out of my garden. Because I won't be here when you come, and I'm cancelling it. Oh, well, we'll give you a reduction for a couple of months. I mean, it's a couple of months. So here's a good number, 6. I want a 50% reduction on all the bills for 6 months. Otherwise, I'm fucking you off. Okay. And then the technician did eventually turn up on January the 3rd or 4th.
Yeah.
And this poor guy, it was like, he comes in and he's saying, now, I'll just need to check you. No, use your own laptop. I don't know because the people at technical support said there's a problem with your laptop. Indian woman, was it? Just get out of your van, get your laptop, fix it. It's like, oh, there's a problem with your set-top box. Oh, you don't say. So what you want to do? No, don't say that you're going to have to go back
to your van.
So you can go as far as your van and get a new one out of the van if you got one with you. I've got one, but I've got to another customer. No, you're not. No, you've got one in your van. It's mine. I said because you're not going anywhere until I'm back online. He's like, I just need to phone up the office.
Call for help.
at this point, I'm like,
we just make him a cup of tea and steal his cookies.
I say, at this point, I'm like shopping because I don't know, like, think I'm going to die today. Like, proper, like, eyes rolling into the back of my head, like, you know. I sometimes hear voices. It's like, oh shit.
And Dark Major isn't a man to be fucked with.
Well, I tell you, spending Christmas without interwebs is bad. It's a very, very bad thing to do. So, pop up message. So, yeah.
You lucky bastard. You got a 3.0. Well, look, you've got an SN margin of 3.0. I'm like on 6.
This is, I don't know if I'm
going to
achieve much of them by going up to FastPass or whatever.
No, I won't achieve a lot because I tried it and it kept on resetting itself every 3 seconds. So I can only...
What's interesting, have you tried a DMP tool?
No, I haven't, no.
You haven't?
No.
Ah, well, you should.
Well, what will that do for me?
It allows you to... play with the margins yourself and change lots of settings.
Oh, right, okay. So I can drop the margin down and it will either fuck it up or be very nice.
Now, hang on a second. And we do this. And we try and do that.
There we go.
Anyway, Dark Major doesn't work on that. There you go. It's going to take about a year to send through Skype network, but you'll get it eventually. How about a cancel of that and find you the website you can download it from?
Yeah, that might be a better idea, because I don't think that'll work on Linux.
You can... This tool is actually quite good, and there's most probably an alternative for Windows.
The forums, isn't it? The not real BT B forums.
The unofficial B users
forum. One second, my phone's just ringing.
What's kind of cool, HR?
Yeah?
Let me change the URL. There you go. Click on that. And look at the first screenshot on the top left. It's in German. But when you install it, it gives an option for English.
Oh, you don't you? That's a lot of big click. Go on. Click, I'd say.
Let's see if I can... Hang on, let me get you a screenshot of mine.
Ooh, messy. DSL modem suitable.
Right, are you getting
that? And I'm back.
Click to our settings. And Eve, do save as.
Welcome, you've just been pwned.
What's that?
Nothing. Click, 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 okay, click.
Yeah, don't mind. I'll trust you implicitly.
It's just funny, you get these, what was that? I was explaining something to the other day, and it's like, I always click cancel to any dialog box that comes up on my screen, so I'm not sure if it's a virus or not, kind of thing. Oh my god. I don't even read the messages at all. Yeah.
My dad's like that, but he's pretty much the other way. He just clicks OK on everything. he phones me up quite frequently. It's broken again. I was like, actually, well, what happened?
Talking about this.
Oh, I've got a pop-up. Huh?
I bought this book recently, The Old New Thing, by Raymond Shin. The guy who used to work amongst, in his past, this is quite, he's doing some work on the Microsoft support desk, right? And he's got his commentary about his time there. And if I can find it, it's really fucking funny. Well, that's sending. Ah, here we go. Where is it? Yeah. There's a syndrome among standard users, right? And the default answer to every dialog box is cancel. That's always called it, right?
Yeah.
So, it manifests itself in several ways, but the basic idea is that dialog box is scary. I'm afraid to answer the question because I might answer incorrectly and lose all my data. So I try and find a way to get rid of it as quickly as possible. That's how they think. You with me?
Okay, yeah.
Right? And here's some specific examples taken from conversations I've had with real customers who have called Microsoft Customer Support Line.
Right.
How do I make this error message go away? It appears every time I start the computer. What does the error message say, sir? It says, updates are ready to install. I just keep clicking X to make it go away, but it's really annoying. I mean, come on. Every time I start my computer, I get this message saying updates are ready to be installed. What does it mean?
It means that...
It's a clue.
It means that Microsoft has found a problem that allow a computer virus to get into your machine, and it's asking your permission to fix that problem. You should click on it so you can fix the problem can be fixed. Oh, that's what it was. I always thought it was a virus, so I just kept clicking no. When I start the computer, when I start the computer, I get this big dialog that talks about automatic updates. I just keep hitting cancel, but how do I stop it from popping up? Did you read what it said? No, I just wanted to go away. Here's another one. Last one. Sometimes I get this message saying that a program has crashed and would I like to send an error report to Microsoft. Should I do that? Yes, we study these error reports so we can see how to... we study these error reports so we can see how we can fix the problem that caused the crash. Oh, I've just been hitting cancel because that's what I always do when I see an error message. Did you read the error message? Why should I? It's just an error message. All of it, all it's going to say is operation could not be performed because of blah, 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 blah. It goes on to talk about the fact that that automobile manufacturers have learned to consolidate all the error messages into one message called check engine. Most people are conditioned to take the car to a mechanic when the check engine light goes on and let the mechanic figure out what is wrong.
Yeah.
Is it even possible to have a check engine light on computers? Or would people just ignore that too? How can a computer even tell whether a particular change in its behaviour is normal or unintended?
Hmm.
Yeah. Interesting ideas.
Yeah. I mean, I've had check engine come up on my car in the past.
Yeah, and you just press cancel.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, check engine's quite non-specific, and I opened the bonnet and looked.
And checked the engine. Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, so I get back in, start it up, and it goes again. Okay.
it reminds you to check the engine because you live in a dodgy area.
Well, that's true, yeah, it is quite.
Yep, still there, not being nicked.
You should check wheels. Yeah. Packed up for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Check for house brick activity.
Well, I mean, you laugh, but I mean, the spa shop around the corner from us, it's the only spa I've ever been to that actually employs a bouncer. And I shit you not. It's like a short, stocky guy with a shaved head and these proper hard as nails. But it's a spa, not a nightclub or a boozer.
Yeah.
a spa where you go and buy bread and milk and fags and shit like that.
It's because they know you're coming.
It could be. Could be. But I saw him go off once. There was like a bunch of kids in there messing about. He saw one of them robbing some stuff, toffees or something. And this guy just went ballistic at this. Where did it? They started like hammering this kid.
Like, where was your camcorder? Right?
Oh, I was thinking, should I? No, maybe not. Because it was like something out of the Sweeney. You know, proper, like, you know, not just sort of come here, sonny, and throwing him out. It was throwing him into the bloody shelves and all sorts.
Blimey.
Yeah. and I thought, well, good on him, to be honest, because the little chap bloody deserved it. Maybe he won't do it again. Because, you know, stealing is not good.
No.
Especially when there's an insane psychopathic bouncer on the door of the spa.
Well, on that note, we are actually running out of time, sadly. I'd like to bid you all a farewell and a good night.
And adieu.
I'm sure we can talk again tomorrow.
I'm sure we can.
So, don't know what kind of end to end on. Does anyone have any last comments to say before we part?
Be unlimited. Go.
What's that?
Don't worry.
Be unlimited. Go.
I think I might be tempted to get another connection. You know that.
What to be on B lines?
Yeah, and
you should, man. I'll send you a link for a good load balancer.
It's tempting, you know. It's tempting.
It is very cool. I do have two lines.
The thing is, they're not bound together, are they?
No. They're completely separate.
The thing is,
you actually open another account.
Yeah,
you can't have to.
It'd be interesting to get two actual two lines coming down and actually have them. I suppose you could do two simultaneous downloads, 20 meg each.
Exactly,
20 megabit line. You could have coming down at 20 megabits.
That's right. One. And if you load balance,
you would never get 40 out of one download unless it was through some peer to peer network where you're getting a bit from each user.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's why my BitTorrent downloads have increased twice.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess we'll end on some extremes. And thank you for listening to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio. If you have any comments or suggestions, please email me and the rest of the crew at radio@hackervoice.co.uk. This has been an episode brought to you by Bilal and
Dark Nature
and Napalm.
Good night.
Good night indeed. Watch the skies.
Watch the space. X-ray.
Soundtrack.